When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Mark McGettigan, you'll find me on social media at FPL General. Quick turnaround between Game Week 30 and Game Week 31, so I wanted to get a quick podcast out beforehand. The deadline for Game Week 31, Tuesday, 6pm UK time, do not miss it. On today's episodes, we will go through a very quick wildcard review, the player minutes. There's a new watch list for the rest of the season, player stats from the weekend, listener questions, captaincy and transfers for midweek. There will be another episode on Friday for Game Week 32. We're on the home straight now. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening for that one and give it a 5-star review if you get a chance as well. A very quick wildcard 30 review. Small green arrow. I will take that all day long. I've had many wildcards in the past where you're hit with a big red arrow straight off the bat. 95k up to 91k with 62 points. Nothing from the goalkeepers or defenders as usual. Double Chelsea defence, the most frustrating against 10 men. Petrovic and Gusto and a Gusto injury. I started Jamal Lascelles out for the season. Speedy recovery, but a transfer now that I need to make at some point ahead of the bench boost. And Pedro Porro with a customary two-pointer. Midfielders delivered. Cole Palmer came in with 15. Salah with 7. Should have been a lot more. 12 shots in that game. Saka blanked against City, which is fine. And captain Heung-Min Son left it late with a 20-pointer. Haaland blanked again. Question about him later. Darwin with a two-pointer and Solanke with 7. Frustratingly for me, the very last decision I made, I put a tweet out on Saturday morning just to gauge opinion as well. I knew what I was going to do. Darwin versus Isak. Darwin won the poll. Darwin was always going to what I was going to do, even though I had Isak and my team all the way through the international break. The first game of Game Week 30 couldn't have went any worse. I played Lascelles. I got rid of Isak Saturday morning. I also had Bowen and Kudus in my Game Week 29 team, so they delivered a week late. But again, to come away with a small green arrow after the disaster of the Newcastle game, I will take that all day long. Game Week didn't end too well either because of Bench Gabriel, so the 0-0 with Saka and Haaland was the worst possible outcome there. But a green arrow, we move on to midweek. My goal on the wildcard was get 9 green arrows for the rest of the season, which certainly is doable when you've got a wild card and 2 chips left to play. So we'll see if we can reach that goal. A quick look at the player minutes from Game Week 30, and I'm delighted to announce we have a new member joining the 59th Minute Club. Welcome Divock Origi from Nottingham Forest. Grab a beer and say hello to the other lads there. Evan Ferguson will show you to your seat. Notable mentions for Lascelles, just 16 minutes. Liveramento also only managed 55, so more defensive issues for Eddie Howe. Areola went off with a niggle as well after 45 minutes. Nathan Ake also injured after 26 minutes. In that City game, Phil Foden and Kovacic, very lucky boys, just about made it to 60 minutes and both got the extra point for the clean sheet. Richarlison only played 5 minutes from the bench for Tottenham. Kulusevski only played 45. Madison 67. Watkins injured as well, 45-minute appearance. That was the most important part of my weekend. I needed Ollie Watkins to blank because I got rid of him on the wild card and his ownership was extremely high. So relieved to get through that Wolves game without Ollie Watkins. Ait Nouri also only played 63 minutes. Some people have him. People are thinking about buying him with double game week 34 in mind. Read a few comments today that said Ait Nouri played I think, 90 minutes twice for Algeria during international break, and Gary O'Neill thought he was tired during the game, so that's why he came off, so I wouldn't really have any concerns there. Also at Manchester United, Varane off after 45 with an injury, and Lindelof also picked up a knock with just 68 minutes on the clock. A new watch list has been drawn up ahead of the rest of the season following the wild card. Go through this position by position. I don't keep goalkeepers on the watch list. So defenders, first of all, just two. I've added Gvardiol from Manchester City. Given that there's a few defensive issues there in terms of injury with Stones and Walker, possibly now Ake as well. And in particular, if Ake was to miss a few games, I like Gvardiol. I liked him anyway before the injury. I briefly looked at him on a wild card, although I probably would have went Ake if I went a Manchester City defender. That would have been impressive to get Ake, Gusto and Lascelles all injured first week after activation. But Gvardiol now, very cheap. I think he's 4.8 or 4.9. The Arsenal fixture is out of the way. Pretty sure he got 3 bonus points in that game on top of the clean sheet. So if you're looking for a City defender now, Gvardiol, I think, might be the one to go for. Other defender on the watch list is a player that was very close to being in the wildcard squad last week, Harry Maguire. In the end, I took him out for Van Hekke with bench boost 37 in mind. There was just some fitness concerns over Maguire, and there was a lot of other, you know, centre-backs fit at Manchester United. But now, following the weekend, Varane has more issues and Lindelof also. So Maguire, I think, very good chance he'll join my squad at some point before game week 37 for the bench boost. Midfielders on the new watch list, Kevin De Bruyne and Phil Foden from Manchester City. Just sold Foden on the wildcard and will always be open to going back there. De Bruyne, just going to keep an eye on his performances and his minutes, but again, budget-wise, don't see myself going there anytime soon. Maybe when City have a double game week later in the season, and if De Bruyne is sharp at that point and injury-free. Odegaard and Havertz, both on the watch list from the Arsenal midfield. I've got Gabriel and I've got Saka. Probably when it comes to free hit 34, which is my plan, I'll be deciding between Odegaard or Havertz in that game week. I've also added Richarlison, despite only playing 5 minutes. I think he will become a good FPL pick again this season. Just a matter of when. So going to keep an eye on that situation. Luis Diaz has been very productive FPL-wise for Liverpool recently, getting minutes and getting points. I've already got triple Liverpool now with Darwin, Salah and Kelleher, so I won't be getting them yet. But if I lose Kelleher at some point, or Darwin, that will open the door for Diaz. Also added Bowen and Kudus. Had them in 29. Had Bowen quite a lot this season. Really like Kudus. They're always options. But again, midfield are pretty strong at the moment, with the likes of Salah, Saka and Son and Palmer. Quite hard to fit in these guys, but I will keep them on the watch list for now. Elsewhere, cheaper options, Anthony Gordon, suspended, but a good season keeper with a double game week to come later. And Eze at Crystal Palace, great player. A couple of tricky fixtures to come before double game week 34. Again, Eze very likely to be in my free hit team in game week 34, but I don't need to go there before that. The forwards on the new watch list, Ivan Toney, again, a player I had in game week 29, lost him in the wild card, and pretty fortunate that he didn't punish me more. Got the assist, a very good assist, but I think it was 9 shots he had against Manchester United. We'll check the stats in a second. Alexander Isak, obviously, on the watch list, wish he was in the actual team. That one is going to sting for a few more days at least. Hoyland for Manchester United, some decent fixtures coming up. Good fixture in particular in game week 34 against Sheffield United, so a possible free hit option even though it is a single game weeker. Chris Wood is here as a cheap option with Awoniyi injured. And Muniz at Fulham, another great goal at the weekend. Very good, cheap enabler for our teams, particularly if you're on a 3-5-2. But I think Muniz probably should be in starting 11s more so than a first sub, the way he's playing. A look at the stats from Game Week 30 from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Defenders, first of all, Malo Gusto, I really hope this injury is not a long-term one. I don't mind benching him for a week or two, but I'd like to use him then again for the rest of the season. And the numbers were good against Burnley. Now, I know 10 men for a lot of the game, but good to see Gusto get 5 chances created and 3 goal attempts. So get well soon, Malo. Connor Bradley, what a prospect this guy is. Very impressive in the most recent game. Picked up a couple of bonus points despite not getting a clean sheet, thanks to four chances created. So again, unlucky Bradley owners not to get more from that game. Diego Dallo, again, another option, possibly for people with a bench boost in mind later. He created three chances against Brentford. But the issue with Dallo is, are you going to pay a million extra for Dallo than you are Maguire? And I don't think it is worth the difference. Midfielders Cole Palmer and Sarabia at Wolves both registered five chances created. Salah, 12 goal attempts, 9 shots in the box, 3 big chances. How on earth did us owners only get one goal? I think the most common tweet I seen on Sunday was from non-Salah owners saying how fortunate they were to get away with just 7 points against them. So one of the main reasons I wildcard a week earlier was to get those Liverpool guys. So it was quite disappointing to get just 7 from Salah and nothing from Darwin. But obviously a very good candidate now for captaincy midweek at home to Sheffield United. I think 99% of people will probably do that. Cole Palmer, 9 goal attempts, 7 in the box. But again, 10 men, Burnley. Anthony Gordon and Heung-min Son both had 6 goal attempts and 5 shots in the box. I say and 5 shots in the box. Obviously, 5 of the 6 shots were from inside the box. So good numbers from Gordon and Son. Elsewhere, 3 shots in the box for Luis Diaz, Eze, Jared Bowen and Mohamed Kudus. And in terms of forwards, Ivan Toney, 9 goal attempts, 7 of which from inside the box. Really good numbers. He is expensive at about 8.1 million, but we certainly should not forget about him for the rest of the season. And Muniz, who always pops up when I look at these numbers, registered another 7 shots in the box against Sheffield United. Elsewhere, Haaland and Isak both registered 4 shots in the box. Of course, 2 of those from Isak were from the spot. Before I get stuck into questions, a quick plug for Patreon. FPL content creation is my full-time job. If you'd like to support me and get lots of extra podcasts along the way and live streams and all that kind of stuff, Q&As, visit patreon.com/FPL general. Questions. First one from Simon King. In order to get funds for Salah, I think I need to lose Watkins, who I've had since game week 1. And there's a little heart emoji that is broken here. His next fixtures are Manchester City, Brentford and Arsenal. So I don't feel too bad, but I still need convincing. And who do I replace him with? Is it Cunha or is it Mateta with double game week 34 in mind? Or is it somebody else? I have 7 million to spend on a Watkins replacement. Already own Solanke. So straight away, Salah priority this week. If you don't have him, get him in, even if it means a -4. Absolutely fine to lose Watkins. There's an injury issue, there is a fixtures issue, and there's other decent strikers available. So it was scary losing him a week earlier on the wild card. I was waiting and ready for pain in that Wolves game, but thankfully it didn't come. So certainly to get Salah in, it is fine to lose Watkins. The question is, where do you go? And of course, depends whether you're free hit 34 or not. If you're not free hitting at 34, makes sense to get an extra fixture from a striker. So I do like Cunha at Wolves. He is still coming back from injury though. I don't think he got any minutes in game week 30. So if you can bring him in and bench him for now, that's fine. But you might not be able to rely on him just yet in your starting 11. Mateta, I kind of don't have much interest in, but I looked into him a bit more when this question came in, and I like him a bit more having done so. Edward is currently injured. Mateta, I think, has scored 3 goals in his last 4 games under the new manager, so I'm pretty secure for minutes while Edward is injured also. And of course, double game week 34. Issue is it Arsenal and Liverpool to come 32 and 33? So again, if you can bench Mateta for those games, use him beforehand and in 34, I do like him as well. I probably like Mateta more than Cunha just because Cunha is not back yet, just in case we end up getting a setback there or something else. 7 million to spend on Solanke. The only other player that came to mind was Hoyland at Manchester United. He's got the good home fixture in 34 against Sheffield United, and he's got Burnley in 35, so back-to-back good fixtures, even though he doesn't have a double until later. But before that, it's not ideal. Manchester United are Chelsea away, Liverpool home, Bournemouth away. So I suppose it depends on how much faith you have in Hoyland and Manchester United, but he's certainly in the conversation. But you probably go cheap, I think, to get Salah and then free up a bit of cash for other things with your future free transfer. So probably Mateta over Cunha, but I'm going to mention a few other names, I think, when I get to another question. Next one's from FPL Bafana. How important is it to be invested in the Liverpool defence? If you don't own any, do you move now for a Bradley or Kelleher or Van Dijk if you can afford them? Or is it better to wait until we know the prospects of Trent and Alisson for double game week 34? So again, in particular, if you're not free hitting in 34, which I know a lot of people are not, you probably wait, I would say. I went Kelleher last week on the wild card. It was close between him and Bradley, but I knew both picks could be short term, and I also had the free hit in the back pocket so I can pick the best three in the double game week itself. If I was looking to make a transfer now with double game week 34 in mind, I probably wouldn't go Bradley or Kelleher at this stage. We're 1 week closer to the likes of Trent and Alisson being available again, even though we don't know exactly when that will be. So yeah, I think Salah's great, even though Luis Diaz is looking good. Darwin's obviously fine when it's Sheffield United. But defensively, Van Dijk's quite hard to get to if you've got all the big midfielders and you've got Haaland. But if you're making a sacrifice somewhere, Van Dijk is obviously the safest way in and probably going to be a good pick for the rest of the season. But I would be inclined to wait because you might want Trent when he's back. So information more important there, I think, than getting a Bradley or a Kelleher. Question from FPL Just Brill. Who's the best Lascelles replacements with Newcastle confirming he's out for 6 to 8 months? Yeah, really unfortunate injury. Hate to see any player get an ACL, the worst possible injury you can get as a footballer. So hopefully Lascelles makes a speedy recovery and we see him back in action next season. But he only managed 16 minutes in my FPL team. So again, I'm bench boost 37, which I know a lot of people are. That's where my focus will probably go when I replace Lascelles. Don't think I'm going to replace him this week. I'm going to try and roll a transfer if I can off the back of the wild card. But before game week 37, I think Harry Maguire is the first name that comes to mind. I was close to getting him on the wild card, so maybe I just go back and get him now over at some point over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully there's a point where I've got two frees and nothing else to really do, and I could just make a luxury move. But again, I could just wait it out completely and make that transfer in game week 37, even if Lascelles drops in price a pip or two. Elsewhere, you've got Van Hecke at Brighton. Not a very attractive pick, but fine for bench boost 37 because Brighton will have two fixtures and he should be okay for minutes. And if you've got a bit of cash to upgrade Lascelles, Gvardiol, who I mentioned earlier, and then you've got the obvious ones like a Gabriel at Arsenal if you have him. You could even take a punt on Kiwior, but Tomiyasu's an option there. Zinchenko's an option there. So I'd have a bit of pause about going for a Kiwior. It might also block a move for a Havertz or an Odegaard or something like that as well. So Maguire, Van Hecke and Gvardiol are probably the ideal options there. But you don't have to replace Lascelles straight away. If your team's good and you can bank a transfer, I think that's probably a better option. Question from Quinn Goodlive. Who's the best 5 million forward? Need cash for Salah and it's time for Watkins to go. So yeah, this is the one that was related to the previous question. We mentioned Mateta and Cunha. Also, if you're not interested in a double game week 34, let's say you've got free hit that week or you're just not too bothered about double game week strikers, Muniz is the obvious one. He's doing it every week. He's a really good player. You know, we've got a great pick right in front of our eyes, so we should probably just snap it up. You've also got Chris Wood, who I like now at Nottingham Forest. Penalties, I think he's on 10 goals for the season. I say penalties, there's a good chance he's on penalties. We don't know that for sure because Gibbs White's usually in the running there as well. But Chris Wood's just a steady Eddie, very cheap. Fixtures, I think, are okay for Nottingham Forest as well. And then elsewhere, we mentioned Mateta, who I think is good. And Semenyo is another option at Bournemouth. Semenyo does have the double game week 34. So maybe if you can afford Solanke, for example, Semenyo's a good player. I think he's on 7 goals, 3 assists for the season. And he's also under 5 million. So there's plenty of options there. Again, depends on your approach. I think maybe if you do have a free hit, Muniz probably. And if you don't have a free hit, you probably want to get a Mateta just for the double. Next question is from Andy Mack. Would you bench Foden or Muniz? Again, ask me that question 3 months ago and I would have just said, what are you even asking me, Andy? But this is a legitimate question. Muniz has been so consistent and his underlying numbers have been really consistent as well. Muniz is away to Nottingham Forest midweek, whereas Foden is at home to Aston Villa. I still lean towards start the Manchester City attacker in a home fixture. Despite the early substitution for Foden, I would expect him to start midweek. Maybe De Bruyne doesn't. You know, De Bruyne struggles to start back-to-back games in short space of time. So I would still play Foden over Muniz. But I can totally understand why someone would bench Foden and play Muniz because he is so consistent. Question from FPL Challenged. Is Isak a keeper for the rest of the season? Brought him in on wildcard ahead of Game Week 30 at the expense of Solanke. And even though the latter doubles soon, I feel like the fixtures and the form suggest sticking with the Swede. Yeah, well done for going Isak. I would be lying if I said I wasn't envious and jealous, whatever those words mean. Or I'm sure they mean similar things, but you know what I mean. I am a bitter non-Isak owner right now. And the reason he was in my draft for most of the international break was fixtures. The fixtures are great for Newcastle. They've got a double later. He works really well also if you're on a free hit 34 strategy because you can just get a double gaming striker that week and then have him back for gaming 35. And the main reason he was in the team for 2 weeks and then he came out last minute, he's just a really good player, really good finisher, really wanted to own him, and there is a lot of regret there. It's funny because there was regret this time last season as well. I think it was last season. It was the whole Isak versus Wilson debate. And I'm pretty sure I was on Isak at that point. And Callum Wilson absolutely destroyed us. So maybe Isak will come into my team at some point, but it's probably not going to be this week. And yes, he looks a season keeper. Main thing is, need him to stay fit. Question from FPL Brooklyn. What are your thoughts on Haaland right now? Other than the last minute haul against Everton, he's been limited to one return per game or blanks since the injury. For those of us who don't have him, do we need a plan to get him back before Palace or Luton, or do we stay the course without him? Yeah, Haaland is splitting opinion at the moment. Hasn't been very productive. I had a look. Since that injury, his points have been 1-5-13. That's the Everton game. And since then, it's been 2-8-5-6-2-2. Now, if this was any player in FPL, you wouldn't be feeling fantastic about those numbers. And you're throwing the fact that this player costs 14.3 million. You're certainly not happy with those numbers. But on the flip side, of those 8 or 9 games, there was fixtures against Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester United and Chelsea. And there is better fixtures to come. Brooklyn mentioned here, you know, Palace and Luton. In particular, Luton at home. Is that Game Week 33, I'm going to say? Need to double check that. But I still feel good about owning Haaland. I brought him back in the wild card. I didn't really have any hesitation. I did look at a couple of drafts that didn't have him. But I want to have as many of these, you know, big hitters from the teams that are fighting for the title, for the run-in. So for me, Haaland is still a good pick. He's still going to be captain quite often for me over the next couple of game weeks. So I'm still on the side of Haaland should be in teams. But there's a strong argument these days that you can play this game differently and do just as well, if not better, without him. So it depends how you feel about that one. But it comes down to fixtures for me. And the fixtures are improving now for Manchester City. So I expect Haaland's points to improve with that. Question from John Hyde. If you wildcarded this game week rather than last, how would your squad be different? Good question. This came in from a few different people. The obvious changes would be Lascelles wouldn't be in it, so Maguire would probably replace him. Gusto, if we don't get any updates or if we get negative updates on his fitness, he probably wouldn't be in it either. If I could find the cash from somewhere, maybe a Gvardiol would go in, just because the Arsenal fixture's out of the way now and there's a couple of other injuries to Ake and stuff like that. I think the midfield would be the same. I think it's going to be a pretty standard midfield this week again among wildcarders. Some scope to maybe go different in the Garnacho position, but I think I would still have him for bench boost down the line. Up front, I think I would go Haaland again this week. I would go Darwin again because it's Sheffield United. And you know what I'm going to say next. I would go Isak instead of Solanke. But I've said a few things there that probably wouldn't work budget-wise because my wildcard is 0.1 in the bank, so it's quite hard to afford an Isak over a Solanke and a Gvardiol over a Gusto, for example. Elsewhere, Kelleher and Petrovic were my goalkeepers. I'd probably go Petrovic again, even though it was a disaster against Burnley. Long-term, I think he just works for my strategy. Kelleher, again, Would he be in this week? 1 week closer to Alisson being back? Maybe not. But again, I didn't use him last week anyway. And he's got a good fixture against Sheffield United. So I do still think you can go there. But maybe I'd be less likely to get Kelleher than I was last game week. So not a huge amount of changes. Isak would be in. And obviously the defensive issues would be fixed. Question from FPL Postie. What's the better Arsenal triple up between now and game week 35? Is it double defence and Saka? Or single defence and double attack on wildcard? And this is my only dilemma. I would be inclined to go double attack at this point. There's a couple of fixtures coming up that I don't love the clean sheet prospects for Arsenal, but they are just a good defence, aren't they? And they just kept Manchester City out. So maybe it should be double defence. But for me, we get to the stage of the season and I want it to be exciting. I lost David Raya on my wildcard. I kept Gabriel, but I didn't go down the double defensive route. I think Gabriel, Saka are the two best picks. And then I really like Odegaard. I know he's not always consistent FPL-wise, but again, good players, big hitters from these teams fighting for the title. I think Odegaard ticks that box. So I'm going to say Saka, Odegaard, Gabriel, and I'm pretty sure Odegaard will be in my free hit 34 team with Saka and Gabriel. Final question from Tom Maskell. Tom says, I'm not doing too badly, but I'm getting bored now this season. Looking forward to it all finishing. What are your thoughts? I'm sure a lot of people feel like this. I tend to hit a brick wall around March time each season. I think I'm over the other side of that wall now, and I am feeling more enthusiastic about the rest of the season. But it helps when you've just wildcarded and you've got a couple of chips still to play. Again, FPL is just such a slog, isn't it? It's such a long season. We play, 9 months? We play 10 or 11 months, really, when we tinker pre-season and we tinker before the game starts. It usually takes people a week or two to switch off when the season finishes as well. You're reflecting, you're seeing what you can learn for next season. So you put a lot into it, and I think it's natural if you put a lot into it to feel a bit drained when we get to April time. So don't worry about that. It happens to me too. It happens to me every season. And what I would say, though, is if you are finding yourself very bored with the game or losing a lot of interest, there's probably some learning there for next season. You can always take a break from this game. I say that to people all the time. You can take a break for a season, and that probably refreshes you for the next 3 or 4 after that. Or you just disengage a wee bit next season, and even for the rest of that season as well. Maybe, you know, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, if you watch a lot of YouTube, if you read a lot of stuff, if you're involved in a lot of WhatsApp groups or Slack channels or Discords, just disengage, you know, leave a few of them. Maybe cut your podcasts in half in terms of how many you listen to, and just disengage. But it's totally natural to feel drained, because it's a draining game. You put a lot into it, and it's a long, long season. But the beauty of it is, again, I'm looking forward to it ending. I think I always look forward to it ending, because for me, the most exciting part is the start of the season and pre-season, when you've got your expectations that this is actually going to be the season I'm going to win FPL. So yeah, we're at that point of the season, but try and enjoy the rest of it. That's the main advice. Captaincy, the bus team, and transfer thoughts now for the midweek game week. Captaincy, Mohamed Salah is at home to Sheffield United. I am not going to overthink this one, and I don't think too many people will, especially off the back of 12 shots and 3 big chances for Salah in the most recent game. Could there be some Liverpool rotation? Of course. But when there's a title on the line, I really don't expect too much. I think Darwin is more at risk of minute management than Salah is. So I really hope Darwin starts and gets points, but I've got no real concerns over Salah. Mo Salah will be my captain. If you do want to do something different, maybe if your season goals are out of reach, or you want to just try and hope Salah doesn't do much and your captain does better, Saka's at home to Luton. That's a great option. Haaland at home to Villa is absolutely fine. Son's away to West Ham. And even Cole Palmer at home to Manchester United, I don't mind too much. But for me, it feels like one of those weeks where when Salah plays Sheffield United, it's not a week to go elsewhere. The bus team is looking like Kelleher in goal, Gabriel and Porro at the back, and I'm going to have to play Van Hekke, which was not in my plans due to the injuries to Lascelles and Gusto. Could make a transfer, but Again, Harry Maguire is away to Chelsea this week, so I don't feel like I should make that move just yet. Midfield, Salah, Son, Saka and Cole Palmer. Up front, Haaland, Darwin and Solanke. So on paper, this team looks great, especially with the triple Liverpool at home to Sheffield United and Salah captain. So hopefully we'll get Green Arrow number 2 of 9 off the back of the wildcard midweek transfers. The plan is to roll unless something significant pops up between now and the deadline. Thank you for taking the time to listen, folks. Best of luck for midweek, and I'll talk to you again on Friday. If you're not interested in the Patreon stuff, you can buy me a coffee instead at buymeacoffee.com/FPL General. Anyone who does so then gets an invite to my FPL Discord server. Wishing you all a big, fat, green arrow midweek. And most importantly, I hope Alexander Isak misses 2 penalties this week rather than scores them. Talk to you soon, folks. Sports Social Podcast Network.